Johnny would have touched it in his eagerness, but Angus grabbed his hand. It would be cold enough for the metal to take one's skin off. They had to wait and let it warm up, for if they opened it cold, they might warp a disc with the abrupt temperature shift. It was like teasing a thirsty man by withholding a water skin from him. Finally, they projected it. What a brilliant picture. They had thought it might be fuzzy, such as you get with heat waves. But the light that had traveled for over a year was crystal clear and straight. There was the imperial city of Cyclo. Circular tram rails, streets down from its cliffs like conveyor belts. They even carried the idea of mining into their city design. Huge, bustling Cyclo. The center of power of the universes. The hub of the great, cruel claw that raked the bones from planets and peoples everywhere. There was the 302,000-year-old monster itself, spread out in its sadistic and ugly might. Neither Johnny nor Angus had ever seen a live city of that size before. 100 million population? 1 billion? Not the planet, just the city above the lower plain. Look at the trams. Rails that ran in circular spirals. Cars that looked for all the world like mine cars, but full of people. Mobs in the streets. Mobs? Not riots, just cyclos. You ever see so many beings? Even in such a tiny size, one could see mobs. They were daunted. They compared it to their own towns, even to their own ruined cities. These didn't measure up to it at all. What arrogance to attack anything like that. They were so awestruck and impressed, they hadn't even been looking at the transshipment rig of Cyclo. They missed the beginning and had to track back. They adjusted the projector lens and position to get the transshipment platform of Cyclo more centered and enlarged. And then they saw the whole sequence, just as it had occurred right after Johnny and Windsplitter had raced across the Earth platform. First, there were the Cyclo workers racing out to leave the platform clear for the incoming semi-annual from Earth. There were flatbeds lined up to receive coffins and personnel. There was the first shimmer of arrival of the Cyclos Johnny and Windsplitter had knocked down. Then a small puff. There were the Cyclo workmen flinching back. A force screen had gone on. A dome over the platform had closed instantly to contain that small explosion. It could not have been an atmosphere armor cable, some sort of shimmering, sparkling screen, transparent, but very much there. Trucks had time to start up before anything else occurred. One huge emergency truck had lunged nearer the platform, evidently to handle the minor blast. A whole minute went by. Then the first lethal coffin exploded. A big planet-buster nuclear bomb nestled into a bed of dirty mines. The force screen held. The Holocaust was contained. The boiling, ferocious blast had not even bulged the screen. Then another shock as the second coffined planet buster went off. The screen held. Good Lord, what technology to build a screen like that. What power it must take to hold it. Another shock inside that dome. The third planet buster. It and all its ancient, very dirty atomic bombs. The screen held. Cyclos were racing toward it from far off. Those near the platform were flattened by concussion transmitting through the screen. The fourth contained bomb went off. The screen still held. But the transmitted concussion had hurled the emergency truck backward. Nearby buildings lost their glass. The ground was shaking as though hit by gigantic earthquakes. A nearby building suddenly dropped downward as though sucked from below. Other buildings began to go the same way. The fifth bomb went off. And seen in slow motion, first narrowly, then more broadly, the entire scene went into a churning, boiling mass of atomic fire. No, something more. Molten, flaming fire was erupting in spots all over the plain. They widened the angle quickly. The whole imperial city of Cyclo was sinking, and all about it sprayed up rolling oceans of molten fire. The circular trams, the mobs, the buildings, and even the towering cliffs were drowning in a tumult of liquid yellow-green flame. They hastily widened the view. and they saw the entire planet of Cyclo turn into a radioactive sun. The recording ended. They sat limp.
My God, said Angus.
Johnny felt a little sick. Cyclos or not, he had just watched the end product of all their planning and risk a year ago, and he was hit with a feeling of guilt. It was not easy to take responsibility for that much destruction. He had thought the bombs would wipe out the company headquarters and perhaps the Imperial City, but they had created a new sun.
What happened? Said Angus.
Johnny looked at his feet.
I pulled 10 tabs out of those coffins. We didn't want to set a time fuse and then have them go off on Earth. We knew the bombs were a bit contaminated. Had radiation leaks. They were old, and their cases were old. We handled them in radiation suits.
He made a dropping gesture with his hand. In the fight, I dropped the fuse tabs on the platform. I forgot them. They must have been slightly radioactive, and when they hit the Cyclo platform, they made a small puff of explosion. They are what caused the minor recoil last year. They triggered the force screen on Cyclo that the Chamcos mentioned, and that force screen was good enough and strong enough to contain the blasts. I read in a book Char had that the crust of Cyclo is riddled with abandoned mine shafts and tunnels, a complete sieve. They call it semi-core mining. The blasts went down. One after another, they pounded deeper and deeper toward the molten core of Cyclo. The fifth explosion penetrated the core. The next 5 exploded in that. I think all a nuclear weapon does is stimulate a chain reaction into existence. And in addition to blowing out the planet crust, the fusion continued. And is probably still going on and may well go on for millions of years. Cyclo is no longer a planet. It's a flaming sun. Angus nodded.
And all the transshipment rigs in the whole Cyclo Empire, keeping schedule, not knowing about it, fired into that radioactive sun and blew themselves to bits?
Johnny nodded, a bit spent. Just like we did in Denver a year later. He shuddered. Turl fired himself into a holocaust. Poor Turl. That's what it took to yank Angus out of it.
Poor Turl! After all the rotten things the demon did?
Johnny,
I sometimes wonder about you. You can be cool as ice, and then all of a sudden you come out with something like poor Turl.
It would be an awful way to die, said Johnny. Angus straightened up.
Well, he said, just like he had popped out of a dive in the lake, Cyclo is gone. The Empire is gone. And that's one thing we don't have to worry about anymore. Good riddance.
2. Despite emotional reactions, Johnny had been raised a hunter. His had been a life in the mountains, much of it spent alone on trails where pumas and grizzlies and wolves could lurk. There were times when you could feel a planning predator behind you, watching for a false move, concentrated on intentions of its own. For the last 15 seconds, he had had that feeling. Danger. He spun about, tensed for action. The small gray man behind him said,
Oh, didn't you know?
Johnny let his hand fall away from his gun butt. The small gray man appeared not to have noticed.
A lot adds up now that I didn't understand before. Yes, I fear Cyclo is gone. We knew that, of course. We weren't sure how.
Angus said,
Are there any Cyclos left? Anywhere?
The small gray man shook his head. The other small gray man, who had arrived by teleportation, had been lurking in the shadows. He came forward now.
We checked it and checked it. Probes told us Cyclo was gone only a couple of weeks after it happened. We've had ships out everywhere.
The first small gray man had glanced at him. A cautionary glance? The other small gray man smoothly shifted what he was going to say.
The transshipment rigs were all at mine site centrals or at Regency palaces. That was company custom. All their executive personnel and high-ranking officers on planets were quartered near the platforms. Pure laziness, really. So they wouldn't have far to walk and could get dispatches sooner. and the bulk of their breed gas storage was also in the same area. The first word they got, they never went in much for space travel as such, since they had a monopoly on teleportation, and it wouldn't have gotten back to them soon enough anyway, was when they fired into Cyclo. We, of course, couldn't examine all universes, but knowing Cyclos, we are positive there are no transshipment rigs or central compounds or executives left. We ourselves gave it up over 5 months ago. The time limit would have been 6 months for breathe gas to last, and that expired 6 months ago. Johnny had been watching them carefully. These men were hiding something, and they wanted something. They were a threat. Deep down, he knew that. Their manner was easy. They were very pleasant and smooth, but their frankness was a pose. "How can you be sure," said Johnny, "that some cycloengineer didn't build a transshipment rig?" "Oh," said the second small gray man. "He would have fired straight to us at once if he avoided firing into Cyclo. The rig nearest us blew to bits, took half a city with it. Horrible. Just by a freak, I was out sailing with my family that day, miles away. However, our own offices are 15 levels underground." Was the original small gray man giving him a warning sign? In any case, he got interested in his pointed fingernails. Angus said, "I don't see any planets listed that have the same atmosphere as Cyclo. Are there any planets that have that breathe gas?" The two small gray men thought it over. Then the one who had come latest said, "Phobia. I don't think they'd list it." The two of them laughed about something. The original one said, "Excuse us, it's kind of a joke. The best-kept state secrets of Cyclo are all a kind of open book in our business. That they would omit listing Phobia is so typically Cyclo. It's where they exiled King Hack about 261,000 years ago. It's the only other planet in that system, and it is so much further out than Cyclo, you can't even see it from the home planet with an unaided eye. It is so cold, its atmosphere has liquefied and lies in lakes on the surface. They built a little dome there and exiled Hack and his fellow conspirators, and then got so scared he'd escape, they sent assassins in and killed them all. Typically Cyclo. They cut the whole thing out of their school books. Let's see your astrographic tables." He took them, looked a while, and then laughed and showed his companion. "Not there. An omitted planet right in their own system." In response to Johnny's look, the second one said, "No, not even any Cyclos there, and nothing going on there either. It's nothing but breathe gas ice, and very tiny anyway. As of a couple of weeks ago, probes showed it totally deserted. No, you can be certain that's the end of the Cyclos. I saw on scans I reviewed here that you have a very few still alive, but you didn't get them to build this." He patted the side of the console dragon. "For reasons best known to Cyclos, they'd kill themselves first." He shook his head. "There were a few alive, engineers in branch mine sites, and don't think one didn't try to persuade them. They're all dead now." Was the original one trying to turn the other one off? But the new one was a bit better dressed and appeared to be the superior of the other.
"I think," said the original, "that we really ought to get together for a formal conference. There are some things to take up."
"Ah," thought Johnny, "now we get to it." "I'm not a member of the government," he hedged. The newest arrival said, "We're aware of that, but you do enjoy its confidence. We were thinking that possibly if you and the two of us could have a talk, you might assist us to arrange a conference with your government."
"A talk about having a serious talk," said the other. Johnny had an inspiration. He recalled the first gray man had drunk Yarb tea. "I'll be having dinner in half an hour. If you can eat our food, I'd be pleased to have you join me."
"Oh, we eat anything," said the newest small gray man. "Anything there is. We would be so pleased."
"Half an hour it is," said Johnny.
and he left to tell Chang Wan he had dinner guests after all. Now maybe he'd find out the threat that these two posed. He wasn't imagining it. These two were dangerous.